How many brought their Bibles with you? How many didn't bring a Bible? Thank you for the trust, but you need your Bible. Another preacher. Chip off the old block of a dad, huh? Amen. Amen. The Lord just been breathing in my life, resurrection power, resurrection power, resurrection power. You know, some of us know that Jesus is resurrected, but we still live like he's on the cross or in the tomb. And what I want to take you to for a few moments is Zechariah chapter 4. Now, if you have a hard time with Zechariah, it's right before Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. How many understand that because of God's grace, his love, and his mercy, you're saved? But how many of you have been trying to walk that out now in the flesh instead of the Spirit? If I don't do this, if I don't do that, if I don't do something else, I'm okay and God loves me. There are actually people who think God sits up in heaven with a piece of chalk and an eraser. And the day you're good, you're in there, and the day you're bad, he erases it. It takes a long time to walk away from God. But if we stay focused on him and stay walking in the Spirit, we never will walk away from him. So Zechariah has been called by God to rebuild the temple that was destroyed by the Babylonians years ago. Now what has happened, it's been 12 years since they started restoring it, and it still wasn't done. Because the people for a while just forgot about it. But here's what God says to Zechariah in chapter 4 and verse number 6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain?" How many realize that you've had some mountains in your life? There's been things that have blocked you from becoming what God has wanted you to become, things that have hindered you. It may be a mindset. It may be something that says, "Well, if I do this, my whole family will turn against me. Or if I do this, I can never be what I want to be. Or if I do this, everything is going to fall apart. And anyway, I can't live the way God wants me to. It's impossible for me to do that." God knows that. You can't do it alone. You need him. That's the whole purpose of coming to him. "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he will bring forth the capstones with shout of grace, grace," or "God bless it, God bless it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the temple. His hands will also finish it.'" What God has started in your life, he will complete. God speaks, and he simply says this: "It's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by our ingenuity, it's not by our thought process, it's not what we can do, it's not how we can perform it." God is saying, "It's what I'm doing. It's what I'm doing." The greatest hindrance to what God wants to do in our life is when we try to do it ourselves. So God is saying, just take a deep breath, Jim, and let me do it. Isn't that great? We fight with it, we worry over it, we get fretful about it, and God says, time out. And maybe he wants to put you in time out. And saying, learn from me, I'm going to do it. All you have to do is back off and let me. Doesn't seem too bad, does it? How many of you are perfectionists? How many of you have found that nothing is ever right? How many of you have ever come to a place, if somebody does something, you know you can do it better? Do you resemble that remark? Can I tell you something? There's not one person sitting here right now who can do it better than God. Say this with me. God can do all things better and fulfilled, completed, designed better than I can. So why not? So I'm going to let him. Boy, we faded on that one. That might have been me. So I'm going to let him. Can't hear you. I'm going to let him. Okay. Cool. I like that. I'm going to let him. Do you know why? Because he doesn't mess it up. What have you known that God has messed up? And so we come to Jesus and say, Jesus, do it. Holy Spirit, fulfill it. So then he comes to a place of saying this, and I'm cutting this short. I may preach this whole thing when we get back. Who are you, O Gray Mountain? Who are you, O Gray Mountain? You ever ask any questions? Do you ever have the devil tell you something? Do you ever say, who's saying that? Who told you so? Martha, who told you? And so we listen to this and we go through this and we come up with these strange things. Zerubbabel was told, ask the mountain, who are you? What is the mountain? Some of you are free from that mountain right now, but what is the mountain that you're looking at even as you sit there? What is the thing that absolutely occupies your mind? It is something you just, you go doing your thing and all of a sudden that thought is there, and you'll deal with it and you'll go do something else and all of a sudden that thought is there. It just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. What is it? You know, if you hear, well, you'll never amount to nothing, you're a failure. Who said that? If you look at things and you say, well, I'll just never have enough money to do what God wants me to do. Who told you that? And we come to a place where we have to pay attention to what God is saying compared to what the enemy is saying. The mountain will become a plain. How many read that? Okay, let's deal with something. Three quick questions. Three quick suggestions. Number one, identify your mountain. Identify the mountain. Because you'll never know at times where the mountain's coming from unless you identify, is this from God that's going to train me and lead me and build me and strengthen me? Or is this from the devil who wants to destroy me and kill me and take everything I have? Sit down and identify the source of your fear. Where's that coming from? Why is it coming? Identify the source of the uncertainty that will not allow you to make a right decision. Maybe the decision is wrong, but figure out, where's the mountain coming from? Identify who's telling you to leave and run and get out of here and leave everything behind you, or stay. Some of these are pretty simple. Identify the reason for your unforgiveness. If we're going through unforgiveness, why? And where did it come from? It didn't come from God. So with that one, we know the mountain is there. Secondly, Jesus told you in Mark chapter 11 to speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Don't let the mountain speak to you unless it's God. You speak to what the mountain is saying. Look at it. Speak to it. Deal with it. How many have realized that something has spoken to you at some time that's not from God? How many of us realize that? What do we do with it? Why listen? Why pay attention? Why to conform to it out of our lifestyle? Speak back to it. Tell it, first of all, if it's not from God, to shut up. And number two, tell it to get out of there. The Bible says they overcame by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. If the voice that's trying to get into your head and speak to you is not for your edification, your exhortation, urging on, or your comfort, deal with it. And listen. Please listen. Don't let anybody speak over your life that's not living for Jesus Christ. Just don't take it. I don't care how good it sounds. I don't care what it sounds like. Don't take it. You hear from God. How many of you ever read The Devil Comes Like an Angel of Light? Do you ever read that? If that person that's speaking into your life is not living for the Lord, and the fruit of the Spirit and the character of God is not shining through them, listen to the Word of God and listen to people who are serving God. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
It's true. Because Jesus wants to talk to your life. Not every evil spirit and not every angel from hell and not all the things that are going on. God will speak to your life, and His words will line up with His word to build you. So speak to the mountain. Don't just say, this is my lot in life. This is what God wants for me. There are times that you'll go through obstacles and things because God's building you. But when God's building you, He's never seeking to destroy you or kill you or put some disease upon you. Amen? He wants you well. He wants you healthy. Isn't it amazing? You hear these people saying, well, that cancer came from God. If that cancer came from God, then why was Jesus whipped so we could have healing? Are they going to argue with each other? Jesus said, well, I'm going to destroy the sickness. And God said, Father said, I'm going to put it on you. No. Say no with me.
No.
Now we're going to close and you may think I'm weird. I think the thinking is over. I've never done this before. And so I wanted to see, first of all, if I had the guts to do it. You need to rejoice over the mountain. You need to rejoice through the mountain, and you need to dance on the mountain. Huh? Pastor said that? Not from Kirk. the King James, the New King James, and some of your translation will have grace, grace, okay? And the grace there actually means God bless it, God bless it, God bless it, because a capstone was going to be laid. That's the final stone of the building. The thing was going to be completed. And what God is saying, rejoice over the finished product. Some of you have looked at your life and you're not sure you're ever going to line up long enough to get through all this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How do I make it through? I don't know. Where's God when I need him? He's same place he was when you didn't need him. Although we needed him all the time. Some of us didn't realize it. The mountain is always defeated in Christ when it's of the enemy. Always defeated. I'm convinced that neither life nor death nor principality nor power nor things present nor things to come will what? Separate me from the love of God. Being confident of this one thing, he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. God is promising you a fulfilled life and completion. We're the ones that draw back and think, well, I'm not having a good day. I must have failed God. And God is saying, time out. Why don't you just sit down and fellowship with me? I want to talk to you. How many of you have ever rejoiced in the last year? Amen. How many have taken life so seriously it's almost a death sentence? How many of you wives have rejoiced over your husbands, or husbands have rejoiced over your wives? How many have rejoiced when things are good or when things are bad? But I want you for a moment to rejoice over that mountain that Satan has meant to destroy you. I want you to look at that thing and first of all, I want us to do something together before we do that. I want you to take a moment and identify what's bugging you. What mountain is trying to get over you? What mountain is trying to destroy you? What's going on? And as that happens, if those of you that weren't up here have unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone, tell God, God, with your help, I choose to forgive. Let me illustrate. Husband comes home late for supper, and you've forgiven him the other 10 times in the week that he's come home for late for dinner or supper, lunch, whatever it might be. But when he walks in the door the next time, you say, well, that's the 12th time in 12 days that you've been late. You haven't forgiven him any. If you're counting, you're not forgiving. Just a simple illustration. And then speak to that mountain right now. Just speak to it. You don't have to speak out loud. Speak to that mountain, whatever it might be, in the name of Jesus. Tell that mountain to get out of your life. You come against it in Jesus' name. And it's over. And then lastly, let's rejoice.